got a cup of coffee.
Drunk half my coffee already, waiting for you to go for a wee.
I'm just clicking the fingers along.
I'm better at the clapping than you are.
I'm not clapping, I'm clicking. I'm clicking. There we go. There's our theme tune. This is Older and Wider. We're with you. We're holding your hand. Now, I'm tier two, Judith. What are you?
I'm the bottom one. I mean,
Are you tier one?
Well, yeah, I'm tier one. I think is tier one the one with the
well,
safest
this
one?
This is it. You see the confusion. We don't even
know what it is.
It's a bit like those wedding cakes where you get three flavours and you just keep saying, "Well, which one's which again?" Which one's the mango and guava?
I know, because they bleed into each other a bit.
Oh, I went onto the website.
It is. It's all very confusing. Well, because we live near Oxford, which is on red alert. I think it's in the same tier. So we have decided, we had a negotiation, quite a tricky negotiation, where we decided to sort of not go to the local co-op because it's a bit squashy. Yeah. And, we can go to Waitrose occasionally. So we've done all that. But I've got my eyes on him because he's quite capable of cheating or forgetting.
Oh, I see. So when you say you've had a negotiation, you mean you've told Mike he's not allowed to go to the co-op anymore.
Yes, pretty much.
There are quite a few reasons why you don't want him going to the co-op. One, because it's a bit squishy. And anyway, because you want your stuff from Waitrose. Is the second reason.
Well, yeah. And he's always going in there and he's always buying tiramisulata. And then he buys, that tiger bread. You know that tiger bread stuff?
Well, yeah, I do. I vaguely know the tiger bread, but tiramisulata is a terrible thing.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, that pink muck. It's evil. Awful. It really is. You've got, there's plenty of dips. There's plenty of dips on offer. And why would you go? Why would you go for the worst dip? Why would you go for the tiramisulata?
I know, no taste. Well, the other problem
we
with
know
it is that,
that because of the Corby tiramisu press, which we'll get on to later.
Absolutely. So which tier are you in?
Well, I'm tier two, but I thought you were going to talk to me about dips because I'm slightly more interested.
Yeah,
there's less confusion with me and dips because I've gone off hummus. I just think I've realised now I don't like dry things. I don't like hummus. I don't like quinoa. I don't like couscous and I don't like falafel. I was halfway through a falafel the other day. And they're only small. It was an inch round thing. And halfway through, I thought, fuck this falafel. I can't be bothered with it. I'd have spat it out if it hadn't been disgusting.
I know. You've got to have a lot of chilli sauce and jam, haven't you, with it? Well, hold on a minute. If you've got off hummus and all, what dips are there on offer in your house?
Okay, well, there's not many dips. We're not dip mad here.
Well, I don't know. There's often hummus when I go.
Yeah, well, there won't
be
from now on because I'm off it.
For God's sake.
I like the yogurt and the cucumber. Tzatziki, that's my favourite at the moment.
It's all right. I like that.
Remember, I'm allergic to tomatoes, so I'm limited, Judith. I can't go for your tomato-y salsas, can I?
Well, no, but I don't call that a dip. I'm sorry. That's not that.
What is that then? That's just a side, is it?
Yeah, it's a kind of. I think it's a culinary sort of. I think it's more of a marinade myself. I don't call that a dip. Oh. No, but I tell you what, the one I like.
Okay.
So the one I like actually is called. Is it called Baba Ganoush? It's aubergine.
Baba Ganoush. Which sounds like something from a fairy tale. It's an old lady called Baba Ganoush who lived in the forest and had children, and her name was Baba Ganoush. It's the kind of part that I'd like to play on children's television because I think I've reached my witch age.
Oh, definitely.
Here she comes, Baba Ganoush. Hello, little children. Come with me deep into the forest. Now, have you made your own? Do you make your own Baba Ganoush, Judith?
I do. It's very easy. It is a bit of a faff. But yeah, it's quite... Well, I tell you when it's useful. When it's useful is that you've bought a couple of aubergines, you've used the one in the recipe,
and there's one lying around left in the bottom of the fridge, going a bit squashy, going
a bit kind of dimpled like my thighs are.
Yeah,
when it
starts to cellulite, it starts to quilt, that's the time to use it. That's the time to go a bit Baba Ganoush.
That's the time to get your Baba Ganoush going, absolutely.
Listen, on the sort of dip and culinary news front,
we're reluctant to leave it after all.
There's not much else to talk about. Now, shall I tell you something? Daisy told us just before we came on air, to put it grandly, she told us that Hellman's are introducing their very own coleslaw. Get that, Judith. My
God.
Get a spoon in that. Get that down your gob.
To say that we're excited is an understatement. What is wrong with us? Daisy just told us that and we both went,
do you know, it's the little things that cheer you up at the moment.
It is. It is.
So that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
It is. I have high hopes.
That's all I want
for
Christmas.
It's not as if they're bloody sponsoring us, is it? I mean, come on.
Absolutely. Why are we even talking about them?
I don't know. They're not. I bet they better send us some freebies. They better bloody send us some tons of it.
I want a catering size jar, Judith. I want to just sit here doing the podcast, sort of one hand making notes with my pen and the other hand in the coleslaw jar, just shoveling it in.
Absolutely.
So that's cheered us up. The other thing's cheered us up this week. Well, it's cheered me up. I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, it's an awful thing, really. But, you know, we needed some tittle-tattle. There's not been enough tittle-tattle.
What do you mean, gossip?
There? Gossip. Gossip, yeah. You know, spiteful gossip, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, the Lily James... And I've written Dominic West down on my notes here, but I've spelt it Demonic West. Sort of accidentally on purpose. Because I'm this is a funny one with me, because it's none of our business, is it? It really isn't. But they made it our business because Dominic West and his wife did the sort of statement. They went into that sort of weird Tory 1980s kind of being caught out.
Didn't they just come to the gate and say their marriage is as strong as ever? Stronger
they
even.
They did a sort didn't of they? David Mellor. Do you remember
oh,
him?
Oh, I
do. He was a plain man. He was all politicians. Well, 98% of politicians. Very plain. But he shagged a girl called... Why do we remember her name? It was Antonia de Sanchez.
Well, because it's a sort of name that, frankly, people make up to make themselves look interesting. But yes, and there was also that liberal, wasn't there, that came out to the gates.
Was Paddy Pants Down?
I think it was.
Because this is a pants down in a pandemic, isn't it?
It's
pants down. And it's lovely Lily James. And I have to say, I'm a little bit disappointed with her. How do you feel?
We're disappointed.
Because she's the same age as our girls, isn't she?
I
love Lily James.
Because
you know me with my ABBA journey with the Mamma Mia films, where I thought the first one was the biggest piece of shit I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, I forgotten about that. What was wrong with you?
Well, I don't know. I was very hard in the old days.
Sometimes.
And then I saw Mamma Mia 2, and I just wept all the way through. And I thought it was one of the most marvellous pieces.
That was a bit of a handbrake turn,
of
wasn't
cinematography.
It, really?
Do you know, there's sort of Mean Streets and Mamma Mia, and they're like my two favourite films. So, Lily James. And I just think she's great. I think everything she does is great. And, I'm cross with her. If I bumped into her, which I doubt, because I think she's still in Italy, I'd take her to one side and I'd go, Lily, just think about this, will you? You know, he's a married man. He's got four kids.
It was very
caddish of him, wasn't it?
Oh, caddish is the right word. Demonic is it? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
But snogging on the plane, apparently.
Oh, well, do they... You know,
get a room. Get a room.
Well, wear a fucking mask.
Well, that's true.
I'm really sorry, but, I mean, of course people are going to split on you. You're on the plane. You should be wearing a mask.
Stupid.
You shouldn't
have
your masks off and your tongues down each other's throat. It's not on.
No, absolutely.
You
absolutely.
See, I'd have some sympathy for with them if they hadn't snogged on the plane, which means that they took their masks off, and that's just not on, Judith, is it?
It certainly isn't. Do you know what? I, years ago... spotted an affair with somebody famous on a train.
You?
Quite a similar situation, actually.
Was there groping going on?
Well, no, tell you what, gave it away. Yeah. Old beady eyes here, spotted something. Okay, so I went for the coffee. I came back and I sort of knew her a bit. So I said hello. I won't tell you who it was.
You will after, though, won't you?
Oh,
though?
I will.
When we're
after.
Not recording,
I might
obviously.
Do afterwards. I might do afterwards. And I noticed that she, as we said hello, she pulled her feet down. She hadn't got any shoes on, right? And she'd had her feet up, because they were sitting opposite each other at the window.
Yeah.
She'd had her feet up, sort of between his legs.
And right. she'd been wanking him off with her feet. Well, basically,
that might be quite a difficult thing to do, but you know.
I mean, there will be women that can do that. There'll be sort of specialists. Oh, God, yes, Judith. I mean, you know, you and I don't go to Thailand very often, but I reckon that's it's probably on the sex menu. You know, like there's a sex menu. And sort of men of a certain age go out and they go, I'll have the number 37.
Yeah, so I think there'll be feet wankers.
Yeah, of course there will.
It's a bit cheaper than the other things on the menu, probably, isn't it?
So, but it did sort of take my mind off everything else for a bit.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. Oh, I do. Diverting. Definitely diverting.
I just thought, I'll bring back the news of the world. I need sort of pages of this ridiculous shit.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been better if it had been a royal. I mean, ideally, in a pandemic, you want a royal doing something like that, don't you, really?
Well, but it was, you know, it's always bubbling under with the royals, isn't it? There's always a little sort of whiff of something going on. Yes.
I'd like to think so, Jenny. Yeah. So, listen, now, since we spoke last time, you've done your tryouts. How did your stand-up tryouts go?
Well, I am living to tell the tale. There was one night where I could quite happily have dropped myself off a bridge into the Thames. There were three nights. I did Thursday night, Friday night and Saturday night. And I've done a lot of stand-up over the years and there is a sort of pattern to it. And what usually happens when you try out stuff for the first time is you give it so much kind of hope and optimism and enthusiasm that even stuff that's not very good can kind of, it gets away with itself.
You sort of sell it.
You basically turn into a sort of used car dealer. And, you know, on Thursday night... I might as well have been wearing a great big sheepskin jacket. I was just selling. I was kind of fucking selling it. And it was ideal because sort of things happened that were funny. You know, there was as I walked on stage between the dressing room and the tiny little theatre space, I nearly tripped over a Henry Hoover. And I thought, well, you know, here's show business. And then there was a woman on the front row, literally as I was walking on, who basically was saying in a very loud voice, yes, but who is Jenny Eclair? Which really, really made me laugh. So Thursday kind of, it was messy, Judith. I mean, oh God. And I recorded it, so I've had to listen to it back.
Oh,
and,
did you? What, an audio or a video?
Yeah, on the mic. Manager said, right, you just buy this little microphone, it's 138 quid. And I thought, well, you know, I'd quite like 138 quid's worth of work first, but I bought this microphone. And it's a tiny little gizmo, and then it sort of had to press some buttons, and I had to download an app, Judith.
I know, right?
And
did you manage to do all that? Did it work?
I did it all by myself, and then
I recorded the
Thursday night, and then I listened to it back, and I was listening to it back.
That's hard.
Oh, it gave me irritable bowel, Judith. It gave me irritable bowel. It really did. It absolutely did. But at Thursday, I got away with it. Friday, however. That's when the doubt sets in. Second night is when you sort of think, oh, I'm doing that bit of material that didn't really work last night, but I managed to sell it. But how did I sell it? I can't remember. Oh, I don't like this. I don't know what to do with it. Oh, I'll just try and just say it really quickly. Oh, nobody's laughed. This is awful. And it was bad. It was kind of this slightly stunned silence for quite a lot of the hour.
I don't know how you deal with that.
Well, no, I don't know how I did. And I was just sort of terribly brave. And I had a couple of friends in and they sort of popped round backstage afterwards. And it was just, it was bad, Judith. And then I couldn't get out of bed on Saturday. I mean, everything that I love and hate about stand-up came back. Over those three nights.
Mind you, I know what you're like from grumpy shows, and your idea of bad and not working is most people's idea of pretty good. So, because you're very, very harsh on yourself.
Yes, I know, but I want, you know, when it's going well, I want people unconscious with laughing. I mean, you know, I know the difference. And but it was all that old stuff of just not being able, you know, not being able to get out of bed, getting a headache, not feeling very well, all that. I just was ridiculous. Anyway, Saturday night, I thought, well, this is the last time because we're now in tier two and I don't even know whether I should be here. Let's just enjoy this because I don't know whether I'm going to get the opportunity again very soon.
Did you rally?
I rallied, Judith. I rallied. I wish I'd recorded that one because I can't remember what I did and it was quite good. But some of the material's working and some of it really isn't. And I didn't have a grumpy crowd in or an older and wider crowd particularly. It was quite mixed. Yeah, so yes. And then on the Saturday night, I had some middle-aged people on the front row, and I think they were pissed, but they were marvellous. They just really laughed at everything.
Well, because you need people to be, if you're doing a step, well, presumably a lot of the material is about getting older. I mean, you want people to know what you're on about,
well,
don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, you know? A little bit. But I think, anyway, I've got a lot of work to do, which is a bit upsetting, but there we go. Yeah. You know, it's done. It's done, Judith.
Well, well done. And I think that, you know, that you're usually very hard on yourself, and I bet you a lot of it was brilliant.
I did cry in the venue, though. I got overwhelmed when I first walked in.
Did you?
Yes. Just knowing, having been there before and having gigged there before, and just everything came kind of flooding back. And yeah, it was this huge flood of emotion. And I just wept. I had to go into a small corner and just get it out of my system. I was absolutely devastated. Yeah, it was weird.
Gosh. What did you wear?
I wore my dungarees. I wore my dungarees.
You scamp.
Well, I just thought, you know, what am I not going to have to sort of worry about? I wore my dungarees with a different shirt underneath them every night. Yes. And my long line knickers, obviously, because the dungarees are quite low slung in the crotch. Mm. So I need the long line knicker to prevent the chafing.
Tights? Pop socks?
Oh, no, not a tight. I couldn't. Oh, no. A pop sock, yes. Mm. I look quite nice.
Good,
I mean,
good.
I did look like a giant toddler. I did. I mean, I said at one point, I looked like I mean, I was basically wearing what my mother would have put me in when I was about three. But, you know, there we go.
So with all this, are you still managed to run with all this work that you've been doing on stand-up?
I knew you'd ask. And I just thought, why is she going to ask that? Why would she have to ask that? Judith, I did my last...
bossy.
Yeah, I know. So I did my last run. We're recording this on the Monday morning. It'll go out on Friday. So the last time I ran was last Wednesday. I should have run on Friday, but I was recovering from my first night.
Yeah.
And then I should have run on Sunday, and I was recovering from my last night. So I couldn't...
Right. Okay.
But I feel really angry with myself because I already feel sort of like I've broken a pattern.
The spell.
Yeah,
the
spell. I've broken the spell. Already today, because I haven't done anything, you know, physical or being outside, I feel sort of a bit mental and cross.
And sluggish.
Sluggish.
Yeah, you do. Well, go out for a brisk walk.
Well, I will at lunchtime. I will at lunchtime. I will, but I can't go now because we're recording this fucking thing. Have you swum?
I have swum today. Oh, it's getting harder, Jenny.
Oh, well,
it is getting harder.
Yeah. Is there anyone else in apart from, you know, who are you going with? You going with Patty?
With Patty, and we've got a new recruit actually called Sue in the village.
Oh, Christ, yes. Not Sue.
Yep.
Right, so you've got a Sue. Do you know what she do? God, it's not another friend. You don't need any more friends, Judith.
I've got plenty of friends, Jenny.
Yes, I know. That's why you don't need
friends.
Sue.
So she's what does very Sue nice. Do? She's a good sewer. She's retired. Oh. She's just retired. And okay. She's a very good sewer. So my thinking is that I might, when I get to that difficult bit, you know, when I'm doing a bit of sewing, which I will do, like the sleeves.
You're
I
not
might
daft,
just go off
are
to
you,
Sue.
Judith?
Sue.
Sue.
Sue. Sounds like such a sweet, doesn't it?
Sue. Oh God, Sue's
but she's
be
very
you.
Good, and she's not even wearing shoes. She's only we're not wearing wetsuits, but you know all
Are you
the
wearing
others,
your rubber shoes.
Oh, rubber shoes! I have to have my rubber shoes. Rubber shoes, very padded gloves, and there's a lot of clothes going on after us. But it's getting very, very difficult now. You know, driving home, it's like and I have to get straight into a hot bath. Mike runs me the hot bath, and I have to get straight in, and I cannot get out. Yeah. And I'm so desperate to get warm. Oh, you know how much we both like baths.
Oh, I'm such a bath girl, Judith.
Oh, and I just lie there and it's so joyous. And I just think, well, I'll just have another little top up.
Yeah.
Well, that's my last top up. I better get up and do things. Oh, I'll just have another top up. Sometimes I'm there for about 40 minutes trying
Lovely.
To thaw out.
Lovely. Very are nice. You reading in the bath or are you listening to anything?
Thinking.
Or you're just thinking.
Thinking, okay, which can be dangerous, can't it?
When you're in the bath thinking, Judith, are you thinking about what you're going to do, what the next step is with the Corby trouser press?
Funny you should say that. Yeah. Funny you should say that because I mentioned it last week, didn't I? Yeah, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a photograph of it because I made a first little foray into the campaign to get rid of the bloody Corby trouser press, which is in the marital bedroom after all, right? And
the trouble is there's just that little space for it, isn't there? There's just... the annoying thing is it just fits in between the window and the chest of drawers.
I can still see it, Jenny. I still know it's there. And so yes, Daisy had the brilliant idea, God, she's clever, isn't she, of doing a poll on our Instagram notice board, and where people could actually chip in and help me with the campaign and say whether I should get rid of it or not. And of course, well, it was quite overwhelming, wasn't it? Did you see the final score?
Well, did you show it to Mike?
I did show it to Mike, but you know what he said? So it was 86% said I should get rid of it, of course.
Yeah.
And 14, if that makes up 100, yes, it does.
Who were they?
Do you know, I don't know, but, but you know, I've got my eye on them.
I think it was Mike making up different accounts.
I showed it to him and he said, oh, 14% said that you should keep it then. No, I think I'm into quite a few negotiations, but there were some great ideas. I don't know whether you saw some ideas from the gang.
I did flick through because I thought it was really funny. It did make me laugh a lot because some people were so upset and horrified by it.
There were sort of
the hardcore haters who were just basically saying, just open the window and chuck it out.
And then there were
the sort of people who were saying, well, maybe you could just sort of like manoeuvre it into another, the spare bedroom. You know, they're quite reasonable people. Then there were people that were saying things like, oh, just turn it on and bring a nice long baguette up and toast yourself a cheese sandwich in it, which I thought was a very reasonable suggestion.
Oh, it was, yes, yes. My favourite was Claire Appleton said that I should take a jar of Nutella upstairs and make crepes in it.
Oh, I don't know, you know. Hold on, hold on.
Phone.
Hello? Hey, Sarah, I'm just in the middle. What? How can I help? What's wrong? Oh, that's what it is. So it is. Listen, I'm just doing the podcast at the moment, so I'm going to have to call you back. I'm in the middle of a record. All right, you. Speak later. Bye. Well, sorry about that, everybody.
That's
that was just my sister on the telephone.
Yes.
But Sarah and I, right, one of our lovely listeners, Judith, sent me, I mean, it was a bit outdated. It was a sort of guide to how to talk to people with dementia.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
From an Alzheimer's Society kind of thing. I mean, it was written in Americanese and it's sort of, I think it's from the 1970s. But the gist of it was really useful because you don't sort of contradict them. You know, if they sort of start talking nonsense, like saying, you know, which my mum quite frequently does about having just got back from Paris, you don't sort of say, you haven't been to Paris, you haven't been to Paris for 50 years. Mm. You just go, oh, I'm glad you're back now. And, you know, have you looked outside? You know, sort of just get them back into the presence. Never sort of say, what are you talking about? That kind of thing. She has remembered that my nephew's girlfriend, she's calling her Dr. Dormouse.
Is she?
Yes. Now, she mentioned Dr. Dormouse on the phone the other day. And I thought, well, here she goes again, going a bit bonkers. But apparently my nephew's girlfriend is in that field of work, dormice. So
really?
She's not talking. Yeah, my mother's not talking entire rubbish.
Gosh.
So that's nice.
It is.
And me and my mum had quite a nice chat the other day as well, because I mean, she'd sort of talked a bit of nonsense and everything, but I got her onto jumpers. She said, I haven't got any jumpers here. I thought, you have, you've got 17. But, you know, don't contradict. I just say, oh, would you like a new jumper? What sort of jumper would you like? And we had a really quite long, sensible chat about jumpers.
Oh, lovely.
So that was
lovely.
Nice.
Just something normal. Something normal that you might have talked about anyway.
Yeah. I said, what colour jumper are you wearing now? She said, mustard. I know exactly which one it is.
She. So what sort of jumper does she want?
Well, I bought her. She's got no choice, really, because I thought, well, I'm not going over 30 quid. Because she might start demanding a jumper a week. So I went on online to Marks and I got her a sort of sky blue V-neck merino wool. And
I've got that
going directly to the home, so she'll have a little something
to open. Oh, that's nice. She's got something to open.
Nice, yes.
I mean, we all like that, don't we?
Oh, I like something to open.
Ooh,
yes.
Definitely.
I got a case of wine the other day. I was absolutely delighted.
Ooh.
I bought it myself. I mean, you know, but I'm still able to sort of go, oh, what a surprise.
Now, I tell you one thing that we haven't talked about for ages. Do you remember the olden days when we used to meet and the three of us used to be sitting in that broom cupboard?
Yeah.
I was going to go to a worry group. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was going to be a date in your diary and it never quite happened, didn't it? Wasn't it sort of, I think you were due to go in about April.
It was, yes, exactly that. Yeah. I was quite excited. I was saving up the worries for the, for the general enjoyment of the groove.
Polishing them up, sort of like making notes when something freaked you out.
Because
I'm thinking,
oh,
I can get 10 minutes out of this in the meeting. It's a bit like my stand-up, Jesus.
Yes,
you go,
I know,
oh,
yes.
God, I've got that's a good idea. I wonder if I can, and there's a punchline maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go on.
Okay. So anyway, I thought I'd share this with you because I have, I'm kind of making a bit of progress on the worry front. And now, I don't want to jinx it, and I'm touching some wood. But so instead of the worry group, what happened is that I was, it went online. And it wasn't a sort of Zoomy kind of everybody else with worries are on the same group. But I was lucky enough to get one-to-one kind of worry. Yeah, I know, worry therapy. Now I'm sharing this with you because we are both worriers. And I've got a feeling that, in the gang, it's quite
we're
a high level.
We're middle-aged hysterics, Judith. We're not worriers. We're absolute mental basket cases of anxiety. Absolutely. Right, so who are you seeing?
Well, he's it's all on the National Health via the GP, who's obviously sick of me talking.
How do you manage
because the GP is sick of me talking to him about anxiety, isn't he? I thought, let's get her out of the way and out of my hair. No, it's very good. He's very, so I think I've had 8 sessions and they're coming to an end. But he's been very good at getting me to sort of put them into kind of contextualise my worries. So for instance...
And where is he? Where is this bloke? Where are you?
Well, I see him in the Alps.
What do you
mean? I see him in the Alps. Well, because obviously he chooses a sort of, a kind of virtual background.
Oh, no.
Yes, he does. So he's always in the Alps. Mind you, sometimes the kind of, the background sort of bleeds in and I can see post-it notes all on the back wall.
That is fucking hilarious. Yeah, but he has got a sort of measure of you to some extent because... You are somebody who would like to be in the Alps.
In the Alps,
if I was to put you in a happy place. If I was to choose various places to put you, I mean, bottom of a lake, obviously, you'd be quite happy. But I'd also put you on an alpine mountain.
Indeed, fresh air.
With a very blue sky and a lot of fresh air.
Exactly.
And a little chalet that you can see out of the corner of your eye where that you can get some hot chocolate.
Bloody hell,
I've taken you.
Describing that, you have
haven't
got
I,
a happy
to one of
place
your happy places.
Be.
Yes. You don't even need to be skiing. You can just be going for a walk.
Oh, no skiing. So he's been, so what he's been trying to do is to sort of get me to contextualise it. And he said...
I'm sorry, and at this point I'd have to say to him, what do you mean by contextualise my worries?
Well, yes, he does use some sort of fancy words, really. I think he thinks that I'm quite, it's a lot brighter than I actually am. But anyway.
Yeah.
Because apparently worry is all about not being tolerant of uncertainty. And that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Because it really, and it sort of explains why you and I are kind of control freaks as well.
Yeah.
And have those issues.
And why
issues.
At the moment, we're in quite a state because a pandemic is a time of uncertainty. Nobody knows when we're going to get out of this.
So our
anxiety has gone through the roof.
Yeah,
as has, I think, the entire nation. So I think everyone's behaving terribly well.
Yeah, in the circumstances.
But I think that people are getting to breaking point. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you're not going to go to breaking point because you're seeing this chap in the Alps.
And so what he said to me is that it's like Eeyore. It's like Pooh and Eeyore walking through the forest. And apparently Eeyore says to Pooh, "Oh God, what if the monsters get us?"
Yeah.
And Pooh says to Eeyore, "Well, what if they don't? What if they don't?" So that's what I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, but they might. I go a bit Eeyore here and I go, but they might. There might be one behind that tree.
Worst doesn't always happen. So I'm trying to do that.
Okay.
And he's also trying to get me to do things that I'm scared of.
Okay.
So I've done 2 things in the last week. Okay. One of them you will think is totally rubbish because I went to the playground in the village and there's a zip wire. Okay. That I've tried to do before. Tried to do.
Okay. How high is this zip wire? And how old do you have to be to go on it?
It's for children.
Oh, for God's sake, Judith. I'm surprised they let you on it. Isn't there a
way?
Well,
there was nobody there. There was nobody there. Mike had to do it first, and I had to do several recces watching him
Do you mean it's just one you can help yourself to? So it's not a specialist zip wire? There's no... But that's not a zip wire, Judith.
Well, what do you call it then if it's not a zip wire?
Well, I don't know. It's just a sort of swing, really, isn't
it? No, it's a zip. Well, it's quite long. It's quite long. And at the end of it, this is the point, at the end of it, you do kind of crash, you know, not crash, okay. but you have to kind of bend your legs and you do swing a lot and, okay. and it takes a while. So
how long does it take you to go down the zip wire?
About 5 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever been on a zip wire? Have you done?
I've done the biggest zip wire in Europe. I mean, I can't talk
about it. Oh, Jenny, don't be ridiculous.
I honestly, suffice to say, Judith, that it is a zip wire experience that people put on their bucket lists because people are like that. And also, it costs £65. So, you know, you're talking to me about a zip wire experience that is free in a children's playground. I'm really sorry. There's this, the one I did, you had to be weighed, right? And this is the worst thing about
it.
It spoiled my once in a lifetime experience, really, with my zip wire because they weighed me. And I said, I don't want to know. I don't want ridiculous. Because for starters, they put you in this great big harness thing, right? And then they weigh you. And
you've got Jenny, what... you did this. You did it.
There's in a proper harness and you're weighed, Judith, so that they know, you know,
bloody hell,
whether you're physically capable of doing it, for starters. And then they put this wristband on you with your weight, Judith, and it was in kilos. And I thought, I turned it inside out so I couldn't see it, the wristband, because I just thought, I don't want to spoil my experience by knowing how much I weigh. And then I accidentally saw it. And I've seen it. I don't want to say it out loud because it really sort of upset me because I spent the entire duration of my once in a lifetime experience converting.
I think that would have been a welcome distraction, frankly.
Into kilos. Yeah. So by the time I got down, and my zip wire experience took a full minute. And by the time I got down...
A full minute of falling?
Yeah, a full minute.
And getting faster, presumably.
Oh, yeah. It was mad. You go sort of like faster than the plane or something. I don't know. You'd have to look it up. And by the time I got down... I didn't shit myself.
Jenny, yeah. I am so impressed. Is this going to be on telly? Because if it is, I'm already putting it in my diary.
But the thing is, Judith, people do things on telly because they're not scared of the equipment failing. I would not do a lot of the things I've done on telly normally. I just feel a lot safer when there's a telly crew.
Because they would have had to have looked into it, you mean? Sort of
feel. I feel like the company that do the experience, right. Just do that extra check because the last thing they really need is for some D-less celebrity to sort of cark it on their watch. You know, because I think my biggest fear of stuff is mostly about equipment failing.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised. I would have been very worried about that. And I would have been worried about what to do when he came to the end. How did you stop?
Well, a man has to catch you with a pole.
Oh, my God.
And then sort of bring you down. It's fine. It's absolutely, honestly, it was absolutely fine.
I am in awe. And if we were in the same room, I would be on my knees now. Do it.
I'm glad you're not, because that's quite an unattractive. Anyway, look, that's your clock going.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So you did that. You did your... What was the other very scary thing that you did?
So the other very scary thing I did, and I'm hoping this is at least going to impress you a teeny bit, is that I did my self-assessment tax form, which, of course, I've never done.
That immediately is making my bowels churn.
Is it?
Yeah. I would rather do the zip wire over and over and over again.
Well, I think I would, actually, and that is saying something. No, I've never done it. I've always, you know, ridiculously paid the accountant to do it.
Overpaid an accountant.
Well, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And stuffed all the stuff in a, you know, jiffy bag. Yeah. Bye. Off it goes.
Yeah.
And I thought, because Mike does his, you know, does all that kind of stuff. We've talked about this slightly before, and people in the gang have said, you should be ashamed of yourselves. And, you know, there is some truth in that. Anyway, so I thought, come on, Judith, I'm going to have a go.
I thought, I didn't pay any tax in July. I thought they were sort of letting us off in July.
Well, who told you that?
Well, I don't know. I didn't pay anything. I think I might be in quite bad trouble. Anyway, I've got to do my VAT this afternoon.
You don't do it yourself, do you?
Well, I do
try this out.
No, oh God, no. But I've got to, what I mean by that is I've got to find my receipts and I've got to photocopy them and send them to. But oh. I haven't got any receipts in the last 3 months, to be honest. Mean. I haven't done anything. I haven't
been
anywhere.
Can't you be a bit inventive? Can't you be a bit inventive?
Well, I can't put my nice case of wine through. I don't think they're going to let me do that.
How do you know? I was filming years ago with an assistant producer who was such fun. And he put through on expenses, okay, a thing from Oh My Soul. And Oh My Soul, he bought a pair of shoes and he put it through as a fish dinner. I thought that was so clever. So are you managing to do any art at the moment? Are you doing anything?
I did a very poor... a neighbour bought me some lilies. And cause just to sort of cheer me up, because you know I'm going through a hard time, and I didn't think they'd come out. You know when they're still in their sort of pod form.
Yes.
And I just thought, I wonder whether those will come out, and they took a week to come out, and they have just absolutely burst. I put a picture up on the Instagram. I mean, they really are. They're extraordinary looking things, and I had a bash at that last night with some. Some oil pastels. But my technique was poor, and then I sort of got cross and I tried to add some acrylic paint to it and got in a right old mess. I'm going to start doing what you've been doing, is watching some YouTubes, just some technique on, because I really like working with oil pastel crayons.
Yeah.
But, you know, my technique is poor. I'm not sure how, you know, all the stuff I need to actually sit down calmly and try and just watch an expert instead of just stabbing away myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Actually, the Norfolk Painting School are doing those things. They're doing masterclasses, but actually I'm doing one tomorrow. And he does it in an hour. I mean, my God, he did one the other day. It was amazing. A seascape. You just think, oh, how on earth does he do this?
And how much are these online courses?
Oh, they're £2.50 a go. They're really good.
Goodness.
They're
okay,
really good.
Okay, right. Now, yes. We're on our culture section now, Judith. Has anything else apart from Strictly and Bake Off caught your eye?
I think I might have cake fatigue a little bit.
Well, you make your own cakes. You don't really want to watch other people doing it. I don't really see any cake making going on in real life, so it's quite interesting for me. And I do like that Lottie girl. I think she's really funny.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah. I want her to win, even though she's rubbish. And last week, none of them could make brownies. And I really enjoyed that. So it was like this sort of, you know, mass hysteria when everything's just catching. They're just caught not being able to make brownies, kind of, from each
excellent.
Other. It's like one
haven't
started.
Seen that one yet.
Oh, really? Oh, no,
nope,
it's sort of like one made a mess of making brownies. Then the next one did. And all of them, it was like quite a simple task. And they all failed. And the Lottie girl, hers were in such a mess that she tried to put them in the freezer to sort of cool down so she could cut them.
Yeah.
And because they were so hot, they kind of defrosted the freezer. So all the sort of freezer bit.
Oh, really?
Defrosted
really?
All. Yeah. It was all covered in freezer juice. It was
wow.
disgusting.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. And she still stayed in, did
yeah.
she?
Yeah. Oh,
I like her. I think she's got great personality.
Yeah, she's very,
got great
very
star quality.
Yeah.
Lovely. So you've been watching that, and I watched Roadkill last night. Did you see that with Hugh
Laurie? No, we missed it because it was my fault, Judith. I insisted that we try and get into another, you know, box setty kind of thing.
Oh, to replace The Sopranos. And.
Oh, I've tried flailing. Succession for the second time.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was bored on it one
you
last
weren't.
Time. I was bored, Judith. I just, honestly, I was sort of like, I had ants in my pants. I just thought, I don't care. I don't care about any of these people.
I'm surprised. I'm really surprised you didn't like that.
I found it slow, just slow and not very funny and not very interesting. And they're all wearing suits and I can't be arsed. I don't want to be in that place. No. I thought it was awful. I was so disappointed.
Well, that was pretty categoric.
Yeah.
So what have you been trying instead?
Oh, I've tried so many things. I don't know what's wrong with me at the moment. I'm really discontent.
You're flitting.
Yeah, flitting. There's something that has a little bit of promise, possibly, and it's called Love Life. I watched a bit of Ep 1 and I liked the voiceover. There's a voiceover and I quite like stuff with voiceovers. But then I sort of introduced it to Jeff and I could tell after 20 minutes he was bored.
Fidgeting.
So it's that difficulty trying to find something that we both are really into.
We're the same. We need another big sort of catalogue. You know, we need a big fop. But when is The Crown coming back? That must be quite soon.
Do you know what? We're just, all of us are pinning our hopes on that. Yeah, it's like The Crown and Hellman's homemade coleslaw. I mean, that's just basically the two things I'm sort of living for.
You're going to see us through.
Book-wise, what are you on?
Oh, I'm hopes it. No, I've started listening to Alan... Partridge Oat House, on your recommendation. Oat House. What did I call it? Oat House.
Yeah.
Loving that. Love it. I know it's not really a book, but I'm loving that. Yeah. And I'm struggling with it. I'm going to give up on the Eleanor Ferrante, I think. It's just not doing it for me. So I need a new idea.
Well, I thought that you'd be on the Victoria Wood.
Oh, well, yes, actually. I bought a copy of that. And yes, you know, because it's the authorised biography. Big, big, big book.
I mean, this is the Christmas book, isn't it? The new biography of Victoria Wood. It's authorised. Who's actually written it?
Jasper Rees, who did a lot of interviews with her. And I cannot... I'm in it, actually, slightly. I'm in the index. There's bits
Did you get interviewed for this?
Yes, I did. And do you know what was amazing? I mean, he's obviously had the blessing of the children and Geoffrey and the sisters. And it is a forensic kind of look at her life professionally and personally, actually.
Most listeners will know that you and Victoria work together, but you're also very good friends. What were the sort of work... I mean, what was the work play balance between you and Victoria?
Oh, mostly chums. And so we worked together really on the Big Fat documentary and on The Audience With,
but did you know her before you worked with her?
Oh, yes, I did. Well, no, I met her because I worked on that Sunday show with Gloria Hannaford. So we met actually in Lancaster when I kind of researched her way, way, way back in 87.
So you were researching her as a guest for a Gloria Hannaford show.
Yeah. And we got on really well and we had children at the same time, went on holiday. And it's she talks about our canoeing holiday briefly in the book, or it's mentioned. And she said it was one of the best holidays she'd ever had. That was really lovely. But I think the thing is that she was such a private person. I mean, she really was. She was very, very private. And you know, I knew she'd had cancer the first time, but I didn't know it had come back. And so literally, I was really, really surprised to hear that she died. And that was hard, really, I think, for me.
But I don't think you were on your own, though. I don't think you were on your own in feeling like, you know, oh, why didn't she talk to me about this? Because I don't think she talked to anybody.
No, she didn't talk to many people at all. And as soon as she died, there were a lot of people to tell. And so, I didn't say goodbye, obviously, in any shape or form. And I would love to have told her.
But you did go to her 60th, didn't you?
Yes, I did. She had this amazing, and that's in the book as well. Yeah, she sort of really pushed the boat out and kind of got this Moroccan tent and...
She went a bit brazier. She went a bit Madonna. She went a bit...
she did.
Did she go a bit Berber? Oh, I'm the only one that didn't do that.
I mean, I think, you know, if you're a Victoria Wood fan, and let's face it, so many of us were, it's a big fat read, and I think it will give you a lot of insight into...
Are there pictures, Judith? Are there pictures as
well? Yes, there are some lovely pictures. There's some beautiful pictures. It's just a really... clear, honest picture of a complicated person who was just brilliant, wasn't
she? I'll probably get about 10 copies for Christmas because, you know, Christmas is coming. Everyone's going to say, oh, what should we get Jenny? Oh, well, get to the Victoria Wood thing.
Christmas is coming, isn't it? Christmas is coming.
I shouldn't have mentioned that. Anyway, listen, we have yatted on. We really have. Hold on, Judith, just before we go to the emails. Yeah. You sent me a note about overhearing something a woman said in the butcher's.
Oh, yes. Now, you know, Christmas is coming, isn't it?
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
listen. Yes. Now, you've got to guess something. Okay, it was in the butcher's, yes, on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And this woman said something. She said she'd just done something, right, to do with Christmas. That's a big clue. Okay. Uh-huh. And she said it, and I thought, oh, my God, that is so clever. That is so clever. I'm going straight home, not taking my coat off. I'm going straight home, and I'm going to do that thing. And I failed to do it.
What was it?
Come on, have a guess. She's done something really
clever. Did she Did she? Oh, Judith, you know I'm out of my depth here. You're in the butchers. You're talking about something domestic. I'm not going to get this, am I? Did she freeze some gravy in some ice cube trays?
Oh, no. Much cleverer than that. Something to do with supermarkets, okay? She's got something.
Oh, she booked a slot. She booked a slot.
Yes, she's booked a slot for the week before Christmas. Worse than that. Worse than that. She's booked the 23rd of December. Now, how clever is that? Not Christmas Eve, you know.
No, you see, you give yourself a day's grace, so if something doesn't turn up, you can go out for an emergency run.
She's got it. She's got one. This year, it's going to be like fucking Glastonbury ticket, isn't it?
Oh, did you get one? Did you manage to get home?
No, I didn't.
Got all gone. All gone.
Well, no, I can't figure out how she's done it because you get in there and you think, yes, I'm going to scamper through the weeks. I'm going to be there. And it only took me up to mid-November. I couldn't get past it. And then I wrote a tragic little email on the contact us thing.
Yeah. Have they bothered to get back to you?
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
They're toying with us.
She's done it.
I don't think she has. I actually have got a lot of respect for this woman because I think what she's done is she's tried to do this, failed, and then she thought, well, I'm going to just set an alarm going around the village. I'm going to just go in the butchers and just casually drop it into conversation as if I've actually managed this impossible feat and just set off this sort of chain of hysteria.
Well, she's done very well.
Well, she's done that. Well done, because, her.
Yeah, she has. And now I've got notes in my diary everywhere. Try again. Try again. Now, what we have had is we've had lots of emails, lovely emails and Instagrams about the French and Saunders podcast that we mentioned last week.
Yeah, people are enjoying it. I think we'd enjoy it too. And I think we've got to sort of get over our jealousy and just, you know, be able to listen and just relax and just say there's room for us all. Because that's basically what our listeners are saying. They're saying, you know, that they're enjoying French and Saunders, but they also, it doesn't mean to say that they love us any less.
Well, I think they're also saying that they're going to stick with us, which is
they're going
quite
to stick
right.
with us. Yeah, lovely. Loyalty nice counts for a lot. Nice. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for the emails of support concerning June. And you've had an offer though, haven't you?
Yes, I have. A photographer, professional photographer, has offered to take some pictures of Poppy. How exciting is that? Oh, so I'm going to have to go to the hairdressers, aren't I, for that? And she said that she was...
You don't need to go to the hairdresser. She doesn't want you in the picture. She just wants Poppy.
No, but I mean... No, not me. No, Poppy's going to go to the hairdressers.
You're going to have to get... Yes. You've got to get Poppy properly groomed. Yes. Are you going to have it done?
Of course I am. Melissa Bastin, she's called. She's a professional photographer. And get this, she said that she was driving to her first wedding... You know, to do it, to sort of be the photographer. And she heard you talking about the puppy womb flip and nearly crashed the car. She laughed so much. So that's very sweet.
Oh, do you remember that? Oh, no, that was back in the olden days. Anyway, listen, I wish you luck with that. And, you could always make a poppy calendar for a Christmas present. Have lots of photos done.
There's an idea. Would you like one? No, you wouldn't.
No, really. Please, you know, enough. we've had an email from a listener called Mark, who is asking you, Judith, because it'd be pointless asking me, have you made your Christmas cake yet, Judith?
Yeah, I noticed that. No, I haven't. But I'm going to have to, aren't I, now?
Yeah, yeah. Will you be making a spare?
What, for you or for Mark?
Well, no, for Jeff. For Jeff. You made one once. Do you remember
go on,
once?
Then.
You made him a fruit cake, and it was the happiest I've ever seen him.
Oh, really?
But it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I will. Yep, you're
okay,
on.
Okay, we're very busy. We've got things to do. Oh, Judith and I have both got some art projects on the go. I've got to get back into my running. Otherwise, I won't be able to do this podcast anymore because I'll be too embarrassed.
You will.
Yes, we will. We will. And we wish you lots of love and luck, whatever tier you're in. Stay safe and we will speak to you again next week. Lots of love, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I'm exhausted now, are you?
I'm tired out. I might have to go for a lie down. Absolutely. I didn't have a Diet Coke. I don't think I can cope.
I didn't have time, did you? I need a wee now. Bye! Bye.